It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin earns an overall failing grade for how it handles tobacco in the state. That's a report by the American Lung Association. We discuss prevention efforts and new research on how to successfully quit tobacco. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tanya Schlamm is an assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison and affiliated with the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Tanya, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks.
Yes, and Molly Collins here as well, Director of Advocacy for the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Molly, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Molly. Let's start with you. Wisconsin failing 2 out of 5 categories in the association's State of Tobacco Control new report. How do Wisconsin's grades compare to previous years?
You know, Wisconsin has had similar grades in prior years. It's really, we haven't done enough as a state to really combat some of these issues that we should be doing, because we know that tobacco is the nation's leading cause of preventable death. And there are some really simple things we could be doing to, adopt policies that help people change their behavior and help people quit smoking.
What are simple things that could make a huge difference in Wisconsin?
Well, one of them is, you know, the Centers for Disease Control has a recommended spending level per state to really address tobacco prevention and cessation and control. And so, we are currently in Wisconsin only budgeting about 10% of what the CDC recommends we spend on tobacco prevention and control work. So, you know, if we want these young people today to never start smoking, never start vaping, then we would be spending more money to help make sure that they understand all of the problems that come with that.
How does Wisconsin compare in these areas of cessation funding and flavored tobacco products and these other areas? How do we compare to other states?
Well, there are states who have moved forward on some of these issues, who, you know, have passed regulations about flavored tobacco products, because we know that those flavors are used to addict young people. Most kids are starting with these, you know, bubblegum flavored vapes and those sorts of things that clearly aren't targeted towards adults. But Wisconsin's state law stops local municipalities from passing ordinances on their own prohibiting those types of products. And our state legislatures has not done anything to address that either.
So legislatively, you're just not seeing the prevention policies advancing in Wisconsin.
Right. There's like a very simple policy that Wisconsin is very behind on other states, which is to raise our legal age of sale for tobacco products to 21, which was signed into law at the federal level by President Trump in 2019. And a number of other states, more than 30, have updated their state laws. Now, it is illegal in Wisconsin for kids to, or for young people to buy tobacco products if they are under 21, but there's a lot of confusion because the state law has not been updated to match the federal law.
Meanwhile, Tanya, you have published a study suggesting people who fail to quit smoking should immediately try again. So based on the research that went into your study, do Wisconsin's grades from the American Lung Association surprise you at all?
Unfortunately, no. It can be somewhat challenging to quit smoking, and it really helps if the policies of the state make it easier and really support it. So, for example, right now, the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline actually is able to offer 8 weeks of stop smoking medication, but usually, so that's for a limited time. And usually they can only offer 2 weeks. So offering more stop smoking medication really increases people's ability to quit.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline is really lengthening the time for free medications for Wisconsinites from 2 weeks when to 8 weeks. We're talking about tobacco use with Tanya Schlom there at UW-Madison Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Molly Collins with us at the Wisconsin chapter of the American Lung Association. As we discuss tobacco use, you can call in with questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So, Molly, Wisconsin made the most improvement in the American Lung Association smoke-free air rating, the state moving from a string of F grades each year since 2017 to a B grade this year. What led to this improvement?
Well, you know, we did pass a smoke-free air law in 20 in sorry 2015.
Mm-hmm.
No. We passed a state smoke-free air law 15 years ago, and it's been a really helpful situation in terms of making sure that we're denormalizing tobacco use in our community. And we would love to see, in order to get an A for that smoke-free air law, to extend to nicotine, all tobacco products, so vapes as well being added to that state smoke-free air law. And we also want to see legislators not roll back those protections. So there's currently a bill pending in the state legislature that would allow for more tobacco bars to be created, where 15% of sales would sort of exempt, if 15% of sales were tobacco products, it would exempt them from the state smoke-free air law, and you'd be able to see smoking in taverns again. And so we're really not interested in rolling back those protections. We think we've done significant work to denormalize tobacco use in public places in our state, and we want to keep it that way.
Tanya, what is the success rate for people who tried to quit tobacco use in your study?
So it depended what treatment they got. If 'cause first we offered sort of a basic treatment of 8 weeks of nicotine patch plus around 20 minutes of counseling. And that led to 21% telling us they had quit smoking at 6 months.
21% had quit smoking in 6 months. You know, what did you find that was the most helpful to them for not relapsing? Was it the nicotine patches? Was it the counseling? Was it something else?
People tell us that they love the patch. They find it really helpful for dealing with cravings, but we know from the research that the combination of getting some counseling plus some medication is really what works best. And the quit line will actually, so you can call them as much as you'd like for free coaching. It's 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or you can text or go to wiquitline.org, and they offer both the coaching and the medication. But based on the research, the very best two medications rise above the rest. One would be a combination nicotine replacement therapy. So that means both a nicotine patch plus some oral nicotine, like gum or mini lozenges or Chantix.
And Chantix is a prescription. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Tanya Schlamm is an assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology, led a new study about people who attempt to quit smoking. Molly Collins is with us, advocacy director at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Call in with a question, share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Wisconsin receives failing marks for tobacco prevention funding and a lack of restrictions on flavored tobacco products in a new report by the American Lung Association. We examine efforts to end tobacco use in our state, and you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share your view at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Molly Collins with us, advocacy director at the American Lung Association in Wisconsin, and Tanya Schlamm is an assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology and affiliate of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Let's go to Sean in Oshkosh. Sean, hi.
Yes, hello, everybody. Thank you for taking my call. I was a longtime smoker, although it was light. I do still currently vape. However, getting good quality products has really helped me and my health and overall. But that is not why I was calling. I was calling because if the problem is funding, I'd like to know why aren't we using the funding that's coming from all this illegal gambling? And I call it illegal gambling because although it's allowed in certain places, it's highly restricted and it seems hypocritical. But that has a much greater addictive impact on our society as equal to cigarettes. Or why don't we legalize marijuana, use those monies combined, maybe tax the alcohol industry more so that we can fund real supportive wellness programs in Wisconsin.
Sean, thank you for the call. Molly, looking at possible revenue streams, what do you see?
Well, I think, you know, Sean, it would be awesome for you to contact your elected officials and share your thoughts about how we should be spending our state funds and the revenues that we're generating through various mechanisms. I think, you know, we really need lawmakers to understand that, you know, spending money on prevention and helping people quit saves us so much money in healthcare costs in the long run. You mentioned that, you know, our report finds that the healthcare costs due to smoking in Wisconsin are over $2 billion. And we really want to make sure that we're helping people live their healthiest lives. And so I think, you know, by investing in helping people quit smoking, making sure the Quitline can provide those 8 weeks of treatment and 8 weeks of medication, that really makes a big difference for people's success rates. And so I think, you know, we really need to think about sort of the long-term benefits of these investments in the near future.
Tanya, what do you think about in terms of funding the Wisconsin Tobacco Quitline?
Yes, so I did a study with the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. We found 26 weeks of nicotine patch plus nicotine gum was even more effective than 8 weeks. So really, you know, the more the better. And if you need it for longer, ask your doctor. But it is much better to be on stop smoking medication in general than to be smoking combustible tobacco. So really giving people the support, both at the policy level and at the individual level, can really help.
Tanya, what do you find people do when they run out of the free medications?
So we saw, you know, we grafted and we just saw a big dip when the medication stops. This was in our study. So at either 8 weeks or 26 weeks, we just saw it drop off. So we tried to encourage people to get it on their own, but you know, it's easier when it's free and they'll mail it directly to you the way that the Quitline will.
It's very, very much accessible, and when it comes right to you, and also the cost, you don't have that cost to burden in your budget, which I could imagine would be quite costly, Tanya.
Right, exactly. Basically, health behavior change, any change can be challenging, and the more we can smooth the way, the fewer clicks, the more likely people are to do it.
Tanya Schlamm there at UW-Madison Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Molly Collins is with us at the Wisconsin chapter of the American Lung Association as we talk about tobacco use, curbing tobacco use in our state. Call in with questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Molly, one of the categories Wisconsin failed is tobacco cessation and prevention funding, as we've been talking about. How is the state evaluated for a grade in this category?
Well, we just know that, you know, as was mentioned, providing people with longer amounts of medication that's available, making sure that they can speak to counselors if they need to, you know, have phone calls, supportive coaching, all of those things help increase people's ability to quit smoking or quit vaping. And so we want to make sure that all of those things are available to folks. And that just, you know, it may take people a few times, right? Like we all know people who smoke and who have been trying to quit, and it may take them a few times, but they need to be able to keep trying. They need to be able to call back and get more medication and just make sure that they're really able to, you know, completely access everything they need to help them stop smoking, because that will benefit all of us in the long term.
Let's bring in Jody in Oregon. Jody, hi.
Hi. My concern was the cost of the nicotine patch, anywhere from $28 to $43. I realize that the state gives you about three of those, but then you're cut off. That's it. And I think the cost of these patches is a deterrent for somebody trying to start out when they're looking at those expenses.
Jody, thank you so much for sharing those costs. Tanya, do you hear Jody's concerns in your research?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, one nice thing about a research study is that we're able to offer the medication at no cost. And the Quitline can offer it, but generally only 2 weeks. So this is a real issue that needs to be addressed.
What about quitting cold turkey, as we heard of, you know, before? Does that have a greater or lesser tendency for relapse, Tanya?
Yes. So quitting cold turkey, you are decreasing your chances of success. We know the best way is to use both stop smoking medicine and coaching. And it really looks like making sure to use the medication adherently. So if you're using, say, nicotine mini lozenges, to use enough a day to really help with the cravings and to wear the patch for enough hours. If it's not bothering you, some people even wear it 24 hours So again, there with using enough mini lozenges, for example, it's helpful to have those available free. Basically, it is worth it to society to have its population healthy and not, you know, if you smoke, your children or are more likely to smoke as well. So to not be encouraging the next generation to start.
Tanya Schlamm, assistant professor in the UW-Madison Department of Kinesiology, lead author of this new study about people who try to quit tobacco. Molly Collins heads up advocacy for the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line expands access to free medications for residents, offering 8 weeks of items like nicotine patches instead of two, we discuss how Wisconsin is trying to curb tobacco use and a new report card from the American Lung Association. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tanya Schlamm is an assistant professor and faculty affiliate of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Molly Collins is here, American Lung Association's advocacy director in Wisconsin. Molly, we heard from Matt in Madison who says, look, the answer is simple. The Food and Drug Administration should quit selling people things known to kill us. And Matt says, stop selling toxic things to Americans. How could the federal government be more aggressive on the policy front?
Yeah, the Lung Association has been calling on the Food and Drug Administration to increase their oversight and scrutiny of these products. We think that will help protect children. It will help protect adults. And again, you know, we don't think we should risk losing another generation to tobacco-caused diseases as the result of, you know, the expansion of e-cigarettes or vapes. And we're really troubled by the fact that they haven't moved to address the problem of flavors, especially menthol in combustible tobacco products. We know that menthol, makes it easier to smoke, helps people breathe more tobacco smoke and more cancer-causing smoke into their lungs. And we know that, like, taking those products off the market would save a lot of lives. And so it's important that we start addressing that through the powers that Congress has given the FDA.
Tanya, the makers of Juul e-cigarettes say their product is an alternative to combustible cigarettes. Are e-cigarettes or vapes a good alternative to combustible cigarettes?
So what the United Kingdom has come down on is that they recommend both stop smoking medication and or e-cigarettes to people who want to quit smoking. In the United States, people haven't been willing to recommend that in terms of especially wanting to prevent youth from thinking, normalizing e-cigarettes and making them think that they're safe, because we don't know that they're safe. Most scientists feel comfortable saying that it's a safer alternative, and the UK feels comfortable saying that it's a reduced harm activity. So better than combustibles, but not necessarily safe. We don't have research to support that.
How does your research differentiate vaping and smoking?
So we ask about it, mm-hmm. and as new studies start, we also check whether people have quit both vaping and smoking, or just smoking.
Molly mentioned how menthol cigarettes make it both easier to start and harder to quit. And I'm wondering, what does menthol do to someone that you know accelerates this tobacco addiction, Tanya?
Well, one thing a lot of people don't realize is that cigarettes and e-cigarettes have sugar in them. And of course, you know, sugar and flavoring, it's just rewarding for us. We enjoy it, and especially children. And so it makes it less harsh and less unpleasant.
Wow. Let's take another call now. Ross in Soldiers Grove. Ross, hi.
Hi, good morning. It seems like the study of nicotine addiction and maybe just addiction in general is really getting to the heart of the human predicament. I mean, of all the sort of things about humanity and stuff, understanding what it is about our addictions. And it seems like, I'll say cigarette smoking or nicotine addiction really just seems like it just seems so fundamental, kind of like how we are and what we do. But anyhow, so, you know, and I think you guys kind of asked a question because in my mind, it seems that.
Oh, Ross, you're breaking up a bit. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you just ask your question? You're just breaking up a bit.
Okay. Sorry. So goal is less lung cancer and less emphysema. It seems as if vaping, as still an addiction, would at least solve that problem, let's just say halfway. And I guess it sounds like the research is still, because it's so early, that there might not be enough research as to how bad it really is.
Yeah, Ross, thank you for that. Molly, is there any ability for vaping to be able to get someone to end nicotine addiction?
I think, you know, the mid to long-term consequences of e-cigarettes or vaping, they're not, we don't know. It's a pretty new product to the market. They've only been sold for about a decade in the United States. And so we don't know about the long-term lasting health consequences of those products. But we do know that, you know, if they want to be considered a cessation product, a product that helps people quit smoking, then there's a process for that review by the FDA to say we should be, you know, looked at like we are, you know, the same sort of cessation medication that the patch is. And so, you know, I think when they've been through that review process, then I think we'd be really comfortable recommending that. But until they go through that review and we know that there aren't the same long-term, you know, health consequences like lung cancer and COPD, I don't think we'd be willing to recommend that. We recommend folks use the approved medications to quit smoking.
Molly Collins with us at the Wisconsin chapter of the American Lung Association, and Tanya Schlamm at UW-Madison Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. Call in with questions and comments along the way about tobacco use in our state, 800-642-1234. Nancy is here in Grafton. Nancy, hello.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know what? The sun is going to shine again. Well, mm-hmm. Anyhow, what I wanted to tell you was that my husband, when he was a little fellow, his folks had a tavern, and they had living quarters in the back of the tavern. Anyhow, so he had access to cigarettes very young, and he smoked them and smoked them. And, oh, we got married, and we had kids and everything, and he was in his 40s, and Oh, all of a sudden he said, gosh, darn it, something, I don't know, it hurts my chest. And so went to the hospital. Oh, you had a heart attack. So they did some surgery, and then he came home, and he took his cigarettes, and he threw them away, and he never smoked another cigarette in his life. So I was so happy. I said that was the best doggone thing that ever could have happened, was to throw those doggone cigarettes away.
Nancy, thank you for sharing such a personal story. And Tanya, there is that generational aspect that you talked about before of someone growing up around cigarettes in the back of a tavern.
Yes, we really find, you know, we are such visual creatures. If you can see the smoking cues, if you have easy access, it's going to make it much more likely as a curious teenager, or sometimes, unfortunately, even younger, that you'll try it because it's right there. And that's one reason we need to, you know, get smoking and vaping out of movies, out of school bathrooms, just not visible, not acceptable, not accessible. So also laws like Tobacco 21, where you can't buy it legally unless you're 21, are helpful. And I was just going to say, what a great story. I'm so glad he quit. And there is this interesting finding that even if someone very close to you has a heart attack due to smoking, it's actually, we only see the dramatic quit rates when someone themselves experiences a heart attack. So we want to keep trying to find ways for people not to have to personally experience a severe health condition in order to find the strength to quit, but to provide more support so it's easier and cheaper to quit without needing to have a heart attack.
Yes, yes. Molly, you know, Tanya mentions age 21. What is the American Lung Association trying to do in terms of, you know, the use of tobacco and the age?
Yeah, well, we just know that it is, you know, we want kids to stop being able to purchase tobacco products. And you know, we've seen an increase in the number of youth sales. And that's just, you know, kids under the age of 18 being able to buy tobacco products like e-cigarettes or cigars or vape products. And so we really want to, you know, create the climate where retailers understand that it is totally illegal for them to sell products to kids or to any individual who's under 21. We need to make sure that that understanding is shared by our retailer community, because I know that, you know, they're not trying to, you know, start and maintain addictions in children, but we know that huge numbers of middle school and high school kids are using these products, and we really need to do something about that.
Molly Collins there, Director of Advocacy for the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Tanya Schlamm is an assistant professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison, lead author of a new study on smoking relapse. Call in with a question. You can add your situation, your perspective, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As the American Lung Association releases its grades for Wisconsin's tobacco control policies, we discuss efforts to eliminate tobacco use. And you can call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Molly Collins is Advocacy Director for the American Lung Association in Wisconsin, and Tanya Shalom is an assistant professor in UW-Madison's Department of Kinesiology, lead author of a study on smoking relapse. Liz is here in Lyons. Liz, hi, go ahead.
Hi. My fiance has been smoking since he was 9, so that makes it 30 years. And he has tried every single stop smoking measure in the world, including the medication Chantix. Is there anything new or different that he could try to stop him from relapsing, I guess you would say, into smoking again?
Liz, thank you for sharing. Tanya, is there anything else out there that this person can try?
Yes. So first off, it's wonderful that he wants to quit and that he continues to work on it and that you're so supportive, because that's really helpful as well. I'd really encourage him to call the quit line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. They don't have a time limit, actually. They will just talk to him, and he could really analyze, you know, what has he learned from these quit attempts? What has he learned that works? What is it that seems to trip him up? And, you know, make like quite a detailed plan in terms of which medications seem most effective, which strategies. There's this great quote from the Tips from Former Smokers ads, which really drive people to want to quit. And they say, do whatever it takes, no matter how many times it takes. We did it. You can too. Mm. So I really do believe that anybody can quit. It just may require additional problem solving and support. And just kind of sticking with it.
Tanya, I wonder, are quitting techniques different for each individual? Does each person need their own plan?
Yes, there are certainly general principles that really, really help, like having your home and car, if you have one, being smoke-free. But for example, many people find that stopping drinking alcohol for a little while they're getting their abstinence from smoking established can be very helpful, or having a limit, only drinking one or two drinks. There are definitely principles, but also you really need to analyze your life and what works for you and what trips you up. And talking to someone else with experience, like at the Quit Line, can really help and also give people hope. Another thing that often trips people up is kind of, especially if you've been drinking, thinking, oh, I'll just have one puff. What's the harm? You know, everything in moderation. But we know that having one puff can often sort of spell the end of the quit attempt. So I worked with someone who he would tell himself, it's just not an option. Smoking is just not an option. And he found that worked for him.
We have an email here from Linda and is wondering if you can run the numbers for us. Compare the costs of like smoking cessation medications like nicotine patches, the lozenges, the Chantix, compared to the cost of buying cigarettes and feeding an addiction like this. Molly, can you weigh in on those costs?
I don't have those types of numbers available, but I will just say that the state quit line, our investment per smoker is only about $1. And the median investment per smoker is, you know, for the whole country is $1.93. So we're spending about half of what many states are spending, and maybe even less than that per smoker, to help folks. And so I think, you know, we could increase that investment and see, even better results. And I will pass it over to Tanya to see if she has any thoughts about the overall costs of cessation attempt.
Tanya, what are the financial impacts here?
I do know that whatever intervention we do that's effective to help people quit smoking, it's always, when you do the analyses, it's always cost effective to help somebody quit because the health effects can be so expensive. But there are lots of stop smoking apps. You can find one at our website, the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention, and they will calculate for you how much you would save during different periods of time if you had quit. You enter how much your cigarettes cost, and they'll calculate that for you. But because, you know, cigarettes are an ongoing cost that never goes away unless you quit, whereas stop smoking medication, most people, unfortunately, you know, we'd actually like them to use it for longer, but most people only use it somewhat briefly. It's much, much cheaper.
Tanya, you know, you have this new research recently published on relapse. What are you focusing on next?
Great question. I did a study looking at, it was a small pilot study looking at using mobile games to quit smoking, to help with quitting smoking, along with stop smoking medication and coaching. And we found that people really liked playing solitaire and found that helpful, always in their pocket to distract from urges to smoke. So I'm hoping to do a bigger study looking at that.
Phones and technology could be another avenue. And Molly, briefly, what is the most important thing for Wisconsin to focus on right now in this area?
You know, I think for our listeners, just making sure that they understand that tobacco use, even though it might look different, might be smoking, might be e-cigarettes or vaping, you know, it's still here with us. The tobacco industry is still trying to keep people addicted and addict new customers. And so it's an issue that we should be thinking about and talking to our elected officials about, and making sure that folks are supported in stopping and never starting.
Molly and Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Molly Collins is Director of Advocacy for the American Lung Association in Wisconsin. Tanya Schlamm, Assistant Professor in the Department of Kinesiology at UW-Madison and affiliate of the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. If you or someone you know is trying to quit, the Wisconsin Tobacco Quit Line is at 800-QUIT-NOW. That's 800-784-8669. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.